reconciliation at the crossroads. To some people, reconciliation is the reestablishment of a conciliatory state. However, this is a state that many Aboriginal people assert never has existed between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people. To others, reconciliation, in the context of Indian residential schools, is similar to dealing with a situation of family violence. It's about coming to terms with events of the past in a manner that overcomes conflict and establishes a respectful and healthy relationship among people going forward. It is in the latter context that the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada has approached the question of reconciliation. To the Commission, reconciliation is about establishing and maintaining a mutually respectful relationship between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal peoples in this country. In order for that to happen, there has to be an awareness of the past, acknowledgement of the harm that has been inflicted, atonement for the causes, and action to change behavior. We are not there yet. The relationship between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal peoples is not a mutually respectful one. But we can believe we can get there, and we believe we can maintain it. Our ambition is to show how we can do that. In 1996, the report of the Royal Commission on Aboriginal Peoples urged Canadians to begin a national process of reconciliation that would have set the country on a bold new path, fundamentally changing the very foundations of Canada's relationship with Aboriginal peoples. Much of what the Royal Commission had to say has been ignored by the government. A majority of its recommendations were never implemented. But the report and its findings opened people's eyes and changed the conversation about the reality for Aboriginal people in this country. In 2015, as the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada wraps up its work, the country has a rare second chance to seize a lost opportunity for reconciliation. We live in a 21st century global world. At stake is Canada's place as a prosperous, just, and inclusive democracy within that global world. At the TRC's first national event in Winnipeg, Manitoba, in 2010, residential school survival Alma Mann Scott said, "The healing is happening, the reconciliation. I feel that there's some hope for us, not just as Canadians, but for the world, because I know I'm not the only one. I know that Anishinaabe people across Canada, First Nations, are not the only ones. My brothers and sisters in New Zealand, Australia, Ireland, there's different areas of the world where this type of stuff happened. I don't see it happening in a year, but we can start making changes to law and to education systems so that we can move forward. Reconciliation must support Aboriginal peoples as they heal from the destructive legacies of colonization that have wreaked havoc in their lives. But it must do even more. Reconciliation must inspire Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal peoples to transform Canadian society so that our children and grandchildren can live together in dignity, peace, and prosperity on these lands we now share. The urgent need for reconciliation runs deep in Canada. Expanding public dialogue and action on reconciliation beyond residential schools will be critical in the coming years. Although some progress has been made, significant barriers to reconciliation remain. The relationship between the federal government and Aboriginal peoples is deteriorating. Instead of moving towards reconciliation, there has been divisive conflicts over Aboriginal education, child welfare, and justice. The Daily News has been filled with reports of controversial issues ranging from the call for a national inquiry on violence towards Aboriginal women and girls to the impact of economic development of lands and resources on treaties and Aboriginal title and rights. The courts continue to hear Aboriginal right causes, and new litigation has been filed by survivors of day schools not covered under the Indian Residential School Settlements Agreement, as well as by victims of the 60s scoop, which was a child welfare policy that removed Aboriginal children from their homes and placed them with non-Aboriginal families. The promise of reconciliation, which seemed so imminent back in 2008, when the Prime Minister, on behalf of all Canadians, apologized to survivors, has faded. Too many Canadians know little or nothing about the deep historical roots of these conflicts. The lack of historical knowledge has serious consequences for First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people, and for Canada as a whole. In government circles, it makes for poor public policy decisions. In the public realm, it reinforces racist attitudes and fuels civil distrust between Aboriginal peoples and other Canadians. Too many Canadians still do not know the history of Aboriginal peoples contributing to Canada, or understand that by virtue of the historical and modern treaties negotiated by our government, we are all treaty people. History plays an important role in reconciliation. To build for the future, Canadians must look to and learn from the past. As commissioners, we understood from the start that although reconciliation could not be achieved during the TRC's lifetime, the country could and must take ongoing positive and concrete steps forward. While the Commission has been a catalyst for deepening our national awareness of the meaning and potential of reconciliation, it will take many heads, hands, and hearts working together at all levels of society to maintain momentum in the years ahead. It will also take sustained political will at all levels of government and concerted material resources. The thousands of survivors who publicly shared the residential school experiences at TRC events in every region of this country have launched a much-needed dialogue about what is necessary to heal themselves, their families, communities, and the nation. Canadians have much to benefit from listening to the voices, experiences, and wisdoms of the survivors, elders, and traditional knowledge keepers, and much more to learn about reconciliation. Aboriginal peoples have an important contribution to make to reconciliation. Their knowledge systems, oral histories, laws, and connections to land have vitally informed the reconciliation process to date and are essential to its ongoing progress. At a traditional knowledge keepers forum sponsored by the TRC, Anishinaabe elder Mary Delery spoke about the responsibility for reconciliation that both Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people carry. She emphasized that the work of reconciliation must continue in ways that honor the ancestors, respect the land, and rebalance relationships. She said, "I'm so filled with belief and hope because when I hear your voices at the table, I hear and know that the responsibilities that our ancestors carried are still being carried, even through all of the struggles, even through all of what has been disrupted. We can still hear the voice of the land. We can hear the care and love for our children. We can hear about law. We can hear our stories, our governance, our feasts, our medicines. We have work to do. That work we are already doing as Aboriginal peoples. Our relatives who have come across the water, you still have work to do on your road. The land is made up of the dust of our ancestors' bones, and so to reconcile with this land and everything that has happened, there is much work to be done in order to create balance." At the Victoria Regional event in 2012, survivor Archie Little said, "For me, reconciliation is righting a wrong. And how do we do that? All these people in this room, a lot of non-Aboriginals, a lot of Aboriginals that probably didn't go to residential schools, we need to work together. My mother had a high standing in our cultural ways. We lost that. It was taken away. And I think it's time for you non-Aboriginals to go to your politicians and tell them that we have to take responsibility for what happened. We have to work together." The Reverend Stan McKay of the United Church, who is also a survivor, believes that reconciliation can happen only when everyone accepts responsibility for healing in ways that foster respect. He said, "There must be a change in perspective about the way in which Aboriginal peoples would be engaged with Canadian society in the quest for reconciliation. We cannot perpetuate the paternalistic concept that only Aboriginal peoples are in need of healing. The perpetrators are wounded and marked by history in ways that are different from the victims, but both groups require healing. How can a conversation about reconciliation take place if all involved do not adopt an attitude of humility and respect? We all have stories to tell, and in order to grow in tolerance and understanding, we must listen to the stories of others. Over the past 5 years, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada urged Canadians not to wait until our final report was issued before contributing to the reconciliation process. We have been encouraged to see that across the country, many people have been answering that call. The youth of this country are taking up the challenge of reconciliation. Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal youth who attended TRC national events made powerful statements about why reconciliation matters to them. At the Alberta National Event in Edmonton in March 2014, an Indigenous youth spoke on behalf of National Indigenous and Non-Indigenous collaboration known as 4R's Youth Movement. Jessica Polduck said, We have re-examined our thoughts and beliefs around colonialism and have made a commitment to unpack our own baggage and to enter into a new relationship with each other, using this momentum to move our country forward in light of the 150th anniversary of the Confederation of Canada in 2017. At this point in time, we ask ourselves, what does that anniversary mean for us as Indigenous youth and non-Indigenous youth, and how do we arrive at that day with something we can celebrate together? Our hope is that one day we will live together as recognized nations within a country we can all be proud of. In 2013, at the British Columbia National Event in Vancouver, where over 5,000 elementary and secondary school students attended Education Day, several non-Aboriginal youth talked about what they had learned. Matthew Menensis said, "I'll never forget this day. This is the first day they ever told us about residential schools. If I were to see someone who's Aboriginal, I'd ask them if they can speak in their language because I think speaking in language is pretty cool." Antonio Dordeo said, "It makes me sad for those kids. They took them away from their homes. It was torture. It's not fair. They took them away from their homes. I don't agree with that. It's really wrong. That's one of the worst things Canada did." Cassidy Morris said, "It's good that we're finally learning about what happened." Jacqueline Byers told us, "I hope that events like this are able to bring closure to the horrible things that happened, and that a whole lot of people now recognize that the crime that happened and that we need to make amends for it." At the same national event, TRC honorary witness Patsy George paid tribute to the strength of the Aboriginal woman and their contributions to the reconciliation process despite the oppression and violence they have experienced. She said, "Women have always been a beacon of hope for me, mothers and grandmothers, in the lives of our children and in the survival of our communities must be recognized and supported. The justified rage we all feel and share today must be turned into instruments of transformation of our hearts and our souls, clearing the ground for respect, love, honesty, humility, wisdom, and truth. We owe it to those who suffered, and we owe it to the children of today and tomorrow. May this day and the days ahead bring us justice and peace." Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal Canadians from all walks of life spoke to us about the importance of reaching out to one another in ways that create hope for a better future. Whether one is First Nations, Inuit, Métis, a descendant of European settlers, a member of a minority group that suffered historical discrimination in Canada, or a new Canadian, we all inherit both the benefits and obligations of Canada. We are all treaty people who share responsibility for taking action on reconciliation. Without truth, justice, and healing, there can be no genuine reconciliation. Reconciliation is not about closing a sad chapter of Canada's past, but about opening new healing pathways of reconciliation that are forged in truth and justice. We are mindful that knowing the truth about what happened in residential schools in and of itself does not necessarily lead to reconciliation. Yet the importance of truth telling in its own right should not be underestimated. It restores the human dignity of victims of violence and calls governments and citizens to account. Without truth, justice is not served, healing cannot happen, and there can be no genuine reconciliation between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal peoples in Canada. Speaking to us at the Traditional Knowledge Keepers Forum in June of 2014, Elder Dave Korshen posed a critical question. When you talk about truth, Whose truth are you talking about? The Commission's answer to Elder Korshan's question is that by truth, we mean not only the truth revealed in government and church residential school documents, but also the truth of lives experienced as told to us by survivors and others in their statements to this commission. Together, these public testimonies constitute a new oral history record, one based on indigenous legal traditions and the practice of witnessing. As people gathered at various TRC national events and community hearings, they shared the experiences of truth-telling and of offering expressions of reconciliation.